But the Ministry of Education, let's move on. The Ministry of Education says it's not planning to build any new single-sex state schools, despite research suggesting that some students, particularly girls in some settings, can do better in them. Some principals are a bit disappointed by this, saying parents should have more choice. Michael Johnston is an education researcher from the New Zealand Initiative, and he joined me earlier on this evening to discuss the move.
I don't see any great justification for it. I think ultimately choice is a good thing.
Why do you think it's happening?
I don't know. There's a bit of a prejudice against single-sex education. I think perhaps in the past it's tended to be more the preserve of wealthier families or higher decile schools, as they used to be called, low-equity schools, as they're called now. There's a bit of a prejudice against it from that perspective. And look, it's good, I think, all other things being equal, for young people to mix between male and female at school. There's a social education associated with that. But on the other side of it, we know that single-sex schools get, on average, better results for both sexes, actually.
Yeah, well, this perception that you're talking about there, that they are more exclusive, these schools, because, well, I suppose in a literal sense, they are. Like, literally, they are. They exclude
One sex or the other.
Exactly, yeah. Right. Yeah.
But beyond that, they're not exclusive, and they do cross the socioeconomic spectrum. And actually, the research that I did for the Boys' Schools Association, well, it's a few years ago now, we found that when you controlled for ethnicity, and when you controlled for socioeconomic factors, when you compared, you know, within decile or within ethnicity, the boys' schools did better at every level, but actually especially for Māori and Pacifica boys, and especially for boys from lower socioeconomic communities.
That's interesting.
So the elitist argument is actually wrong.
Why do you think that is, out of interest?
Why do I think they do better?
Yeah, those demographics that you're talking about, lower socioeconomic... That will require some altogether different research,
I
suppose.
Why for them in particular?
Yeah,
I mean, I'm speculating because we didn't have the wherewithal to look into the why of it. We just found that it was the case. But I suspect that boys' schools generate a bit of an esprit de corps amongst the boys, a kind of sense of shared purpose and mission, which may be harder to capture in a co-ed school. Boys and girls are not just exactly the same, and I think the single-sex environment does allow the teaching and the environment to be tailored to the typical boy or the typical girl a bit better.
You talk about academic performance, and I think this is relatively well established that both boys and girls tend to do better academically in single-sex schools, although there are other elements to take consideration of, the catchment of the school area, for example, and how old the school is and so on and so forth. But if we accept that at the outset, I wanted to ask you a more expansive question, which is, do you think the point of school is entirely about academic performance? Doesn't it have a wider role in moulding humans than just who gets the most excellences?
Yes, absolutely it does. So that's why I wouldn't take the evidence on academic performance as a knockdown argument to send a child to a single-sex school. We didn't with our daughters. They're both in co-ed schools, and you know, the older one now has a choice of being in a girls' school or a co-ed, and for her the co-ed school's right. So of course it does have that wider purpose.
We were talking about possible reasons for this. I mean, this is speculation, but it's speculation that I've heard from various people. You know about how the world has changed over the past 10, 20, 30 years, Michael. You know, they're all on their phones, these kids. Nobody knows how to talk to each other. The boys are terrified of the girls. The girls are terrified of the boys. Maybe the logic is, this is turning into a bit of a problem. We don't want to turn into South Korea in terms of gender stratification.
We sure don't. Yeah.
You know, this is a gentle way of getting boys used to girls and girls used to boys from a young age. And, I mean, are you convinced by that argument?
Well, I think there's wisdom in that argument. I just wouldn't go so far as to ban new single-sex schools.
Right.
Yeah, there is a lot of wisdom in that argument, and there is a real problem, I think, with young people being online too much, and that in part they get socialised poorly as a result of that, and they don't get used enough to interacting with one another.
Maybe this is the state kind of saying, hey, look, we're all for educational choice, but we are the state. We're only going to do so much here. If you want to go to a single-sex school, if you want to send your child to a single-sex school, that's all well and good. Go to a Catholic school, go to any number of the special character schools for which there are provisions, mm-hmm. and they've fought for those provisions. That's great, but we're the state. We're going to keep things easy, and we're just going to say all new schools from here on out are going to be co-ed, full stop.
Yeah, I mean, the trouble with that argument is that you typically need money to use one of the private schools or even the Catholic schools. There's a fee associated with it, and not all families can afford that. Mm. So I think there is a place for the state to be offering choice about schools too.
What is the better way for the state to go about this then? You know, they only have so many schools that they can build. Schools, you know, new schools cost money. They cost money to set up. They cost money to run.
Yeah, so maybe there's a pragmatic argument to say, actually, we're building this new school in this area. There's already about the same number of boys' schools and girls' schools existing here. So we're going to make it co-ed so we don't create an imbalance. Yeah. I think that's a pragmatic argument, and it should be invoked in the case of any given school. I just don't agree with the blanket ban.
Right. So it's the bluntness of the tool that you really object to, it seems.
Yeah, that's right. And I'm not, you know, a dyed-in-the-wool proponent of single-sex education. I say again, I think there's huge advantages to co-ed education, and it is that wider purpose of socialisation and boys and girls getting used to interacting with one another.
Mm. I mean,
you know, there are ways that you can set up a school potentially to have boys and girls in different classes, but mixing together for other things. That may be a best of both worlds scenario.
Well, I did actually. That's interesting that you bring that up, because I did want to ask, did you go to a single-sex school?
No, I went to a co-ed. I went to Onslow College out in Johnsonville in Wellington.
Oh, yeah, mighty fine institution. I know many people who've been through that school, Onslow College. So that's
it was a good place in the 1980s. I haven't seen it for a while now.
Do you think that you benefited from a co-ed education?
Undoubtedly,
right.
Yes. I'm glad I did not go to a boys' school.
Really?
Well, it was a very liberal environment in that school, yeah. And so we interacted, boys and girls, from third form on. The social groups were very mixed and integrated, and I would say we learned to respect one another, boys to respect girls and girls to respect boys, mm-hmm. through interaction, and to know how to talk to one another at a time of life when it can be awkward. So yeah. I think it was really valuable from that perspective, yes.
That's so interesting, because I went to a single-sex school, I went to a boys' school, and while our school did, as you suggested earlier, they did make an effort in sort of later high school years, from sort of fifth form onwards, to integrate with nearby girls' schools, there was this kind of period from like third form to, I don't know, sixth form, where, yeah, we didn't talk to that many girls, and they were like these kind of mystical...
kind of alien species,
yeah.
Or something.
Who we admired and sort of loved, but were kind of terrified of in terms of putting our feet in our mouths.
I'm sure we all remember the school socials where the boys would line up on one side of the room and the girls on the other, and they kind of look at each other uncomfortably. And I think it, certainly in my time, it was the boys who were expected to go and ask the girls to dance, which was the most awful experience in the world.
Oh, the worst, yeah. Especially if you're the first one, you know, in front of everybody, yeah. Getting rejected and trudging back, sadly. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's an argument against this, isn't it, Michael? That, you know, those scenes won't be present in future teen movies found in New Zealand.
Well,
everybody will be so socially fluent.
I'm talking about being in a co-ed school and this being the case. So I think it's always awkward to be a teenager interacting with the opposite sex when you're not very experienced. And I do think that co-ed schools help in that regard. But again, I don't think that's enough on its own to justify a ban, because there are young people for whom a single-sex education is the right thing.
Yeah, right. And I suppose this kind of just finally kind of gets back to your core point, doesn't it, that you aren't coming down really hard on one side of the argument or t'other, more that you feel that this is a blunt instrument, and that actually when it comes to a child's schooling, there should be options, because every child will have their own kind of needs, and you know, the best school might be different for different kids.
I don't think that options should be the preserve of people who can afford private schools.
Right. Interesting stuff. Michael Johnston, always really nice talking to you, Michael. Thanks for your time.
Cheers, mate. Nice to talk to you too.